We applaud the board and the president for their leadership in proposing new practices, structural changes intended to reach all of these goals. In the spirit of collegiality and a shared governance, we express our general support for the goals of the board, but at the same time, we must voice some serious concerns about some specific aspects of the proposals that are before you. The Senate Conference and the collective three campus senates have discussed all the aspects of the proposals before you in great detail in a very short time frame. The faculty hope that as we go through this process that they'll continue to be involved in the discussions and ask for advice regarding changes to the university structure. It's clear that you heard us, it's clear that you listened to us, and it's clear that you share the concept of shared governance with us. One of the most important aspects of the Academy is discourse, discussion, and ultimate decision-making. The scholars that you've recruited to the University of Illinois are careful, serious, thoughtful, and deliberate people, but those things take time. Changes to our governing documents are very serious business. It's like making a change to the Constitution. And I applaud President Hogan for the more than 40 meetings he's had with the faculty. I've had dozens of discussions with the president regarding these issues. And I applaud him for the time he's taken in that. In the remaining time, I'd like to just briefly summarize advice from the Senate's conference. And this is, you have a fairly large packet of documents in front of you, the Senate's conference advice, as well as the advice from the individual Senates. With regard to the proposal for retitlement of the position of Chancellor to include Vice President and Chancellor, this is an item that presented the most discussion, more discussion than any other of the proposals. This is one of the few issues in many, many years on Senate's conference that we've failed to arrive at a clear consensus on. As you look at your packet, three of the four faculty advisory groups have advised against this change, and the Senate's conference position in the document is that all the powers that are currently defined in the statutes and general rules are sufficient to establish the proper relationship between a strong president and a strong chancellor, and that's the opinion of the Senate's conference. With regard to the proposal for Vice President of Technology and Economic Development to add the word research to the title, all three of the Senates expressed the preference for a Vice President for Research in order to emphasize the broad range of research falling under this office. The Senate's conference also shares this position on this proposal, and we applaud the President and the Board for including this change in the documents in front of you. With regard to the creation of the Vice President for Health Affairs, two Senates supported the proposal. One Senate believes there's still too many unanswered questions to support the proposal, but the Senate conference supports the creation of this proposal, but agrees that the academic and budgetary authority must remain with the campuses. Finally, with regard to the proposed changes to the statutes and general rules regarding the provosts, the USC applauds President Hogan for his willingness to listen to the faculty, to consider our concerns, and to retain the title provost, that is Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs and Provost. President Hogan, we thank you very much for listening to us and working with us on this very important issue. As the Senate's conference statutory responsibility, we were not able to resolve the differences in advice from the three campus senates. So what I've done is I've transmitted Senate's conference advice and the three campus senates advice in their entirety to the president for your consideration. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank you for your time to speak about these important proposals. I also would like to thank Trustee Kennedy and Trustee Oliver for spending more than 2 hours with us on October 26th to discuss this with the Senate's conference. That was very, very helpful, and I thank you very much for that. And in closing, I'd like to say that the faculty, the Senate's, and the University Senate's Conference stands ready to continue to work with the board to make this the best university on the face of the planet. Thank you.
Matt, thank you very much for that. You've been a gentleman throughout all of this. We've enjoyed the level of dialogue, the debate, the information exchange, and it's been terrific working with you and the entire conference. So thank you. I think Mike has some comments, and then I might say a word or two.
Okay. Well, I would also thank you, Mr. Chairman, but I'd also like to thank Matt and all of his Senate colleagues on the campus senates, the campus senate executive committees, and, of course, the Senate's conference for their very thorough and expeditious review of these proposed changes. each campus, I know, had multiple meetings to discuss the amendments and offer suggestions and raise concerns. As you've heard, I've had about 40, 41 meetings with the Senate's Senate conferences, their Senate Executive Committee, since I started about 4 months ago, almost all of them dealing in whole or in part with these proposed amendments that were first presented to the board on September 23rd. I think in here were some first that I'm kind of proud of. I think I may be, so I've been told, the first president to address the UIUC Student Senate, the first to speak to each of the to the UIC Faculty Senate, and of course to several of the student executive committees, and that's all been a very profitable discussion. As you've heard, overwhelmingly the campus senates and senate's conference support the need for the university to develop an administrative structure that promotes clear lines of authority and creates opportunities for revenue enhancement, cost savings, and efficiencies. Although there isn't, as Matthew pointed out, isn't a uniform consensus across the campuses with regard to the specific amendments, I think there's preponderance of support for the Vice President for Health Affairs and Vice President for Research in two of the Senates and in the Senate's conference, with split support regarding adding the title of Vice President to the Chancellor's title. On the one hand, some believe that adding the VP title to the Chancellor's title would diminish the standing of one campus by comparison to the others, diminish the authority of the Chancellor, and threaten the unique identity and distinct mission of each campus. But on the other hand, some see the addition of the title as adding important clarity to the organizational structure, protecting the university from transgressions and a governance crisis like that of the recent past. To this group, the changes are compatible with each campus identity and mission. They do not diminish the responsibilities assigned to the chancellor by statute, and actually recognize and enhance the role that our chancellors can play in shaping the university as a whole. Again, I'm grateful to the Senate's conference for raising all of these issues and taking it up on all sides of each issue. We've tried to attend to that input. As Matthew mentioned, we've changed the proposed amendment related to the Vice President for Research, Technology, and Economic Development so that the title will simply be Vice President for Research, though the portfolio will continue to include tech transfer and economic development. We've also agreed to retain the title of Provost so that the new title for those holding this position will be Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs and Provost. We made several other wording changes that were suggested by faculty, particularly on the Urbana campus, but elsewhere as well. Finally, I want to emphasize my continued commitment to the process of shared governance and to reaffirm that I will continue to consult with the Senate's conference on related matters. I also want to emphasize, as I have repeatedly, that nothing in these changes is intended to diminish the authority of our chancellors or the mission and identity of each campus. In addition, let me stress that these and other reforms aim to reduce administrative overhead and return the savings to our research and teaching missions. Indeed, we've already reduced staff in university administration, our RAMP administrators, that's deans and above, to president, remain within the range of 69 to 72 where they've been for the last 12 years, and that will be the case even with the appointment of a new vice president. And of course, conclude, the board has in effect mandated a 5 to 10% reduction in our administrative overhead by the end of 2012, and we intend to accomplish that goal. So I again repeat my gratitude to the Senate for all their hard work, and that concludes my presentation, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mike. I just might add my own 2 cents just to the titling issue. I think it was really the Vice President Chancellor issue was really driven as part of a package of governance reforms that were the driving goal of this board, which was largely impaneled last September. We think the university suffered from an overreaching board and a weakened presidency in the past, and the current board has tried to institutionalize changes so that they will live beyond our presence on the board. One of those changes was to strengthen the presidency by clearly articulating that the president would be the chief executive. Our hope is to add vice president to the title of chancellor so that internal and external audiences all understand that the chancellors report to the president. Other universities and other states have different systems. In Texas, for instance, the president is the head of the campus. The chancellor runs the system. It is confusing, particularly for external audiences, not for people in the University of Illinois, but for congressmen, for senators, for funders in the executive branch. They need to know that they're talking to the top dog. We really need to protect the university from an overreaching board. A board that thinks that the chancellors are in parallel with the president will feel that they can reach out to the chancellor and reach into the chancellor's business. We have been very protective against doing that with any of the current chancellors, and we want to institutionalize that role for future boards. That is the driving force behind this issue. I would say from my own point of view, coming onto the board and playing the role here, it may seem to some to be a daunting task to work with so many others on an equal basis. And I would say that there is no decision that we have made that I think would have been a better decision had I made it alone. There's no decision that we have made that I think would have been a better decision had I made it alone. And I think that same spirit exists as it relates to our co-governance structure. There's no decision that we have made that hasn't been improved by the advice, the counsel, and the thoughtful input that we've received from the faculty. I hope we'll continue to have that relationship with all of you. Matt, I hope you continue to lead that effort. Are there any other comments?
I would be happy to add 2 cents too, just to endorse what's before us today, to also thank the faculty for extensive involvement, understanding that there have been just the meetings that could be counted, 40-some meetings, and hundreds of hours put in by people in the discussion of this. So that speaks tremendously about our commitment to the concept of shared governance. I guess some people might think this is moving fast. I'm one of the people who thinks it's moving maybe even a little more slowly than I would like to see. And I view each of the individual appointments and positions as supported by logic as we walk through each one of them. I see the logic in doing that. I have enormous respect and trust in the person we selected to be the president of the University of Illinois. He has years of experience at very illustrious institutions of higher education, and I think he's drawn upon that in making his recommendations to us. So I think this will achieve or help us achieve the goal of better alignment, clearer delineation of the roles and responsibilities. Ultimately, that should lead to better decision-making and efficiency and collaboration. I have read everything that's been presented to us, and I am convinced that this is not going to in any way change the fundamental mission that each campus has or the responsibilities of the individual chancellors. And in searching for another right way to say this, I keep coming back to one of the things in the conference from the University of Illinois Springfield in their epilogue, saying it's time we step out of our comfort zones and see the university vis-a-vis campus relationship in a new and hopeful light. And I think that it's time to start acting on that.
Thank you, Pam.
I would just add one further comment and just reinforce the comments you made, but I really also like to thank the student groups at the three campuses, weighing in on the issues, spending time on the issues, providing feedback to us also, and so I really appreciate you all being involved in those student-oriented responses. Fully support the recommendation.
Thank you. Okay, any other discussion? Well, now it's time to take some votes, and there are 2 sets of votes that'll occur. One agenda calls for a voice vote. The rest are part of what's called the roll call agenda, and we'll do the voice vote agenda first. The items for the voice vote agenda were listed in the material distributed to all of the trustees. and the secretary, Michelle Thompson, will read the title of all the items. After she's read them, we can discuss any open issues.